Columbia Broadcasting System presents This Life is Mine, starring Betty Winkler as Eden Channing and Paul McGrath as Edwin Lorimer, in the story of a family which meets the challenge of our changing world with two conflicting points of view. Captain Bob Hastings put Eden on the last train out of Marblehead, but then yielded to a momentary impulse and hopped on to ride as far as Boston with her. They got in late, and there was the usual mad scramble to make the Freetown train in less time than seemed possible. Eden was waving goodbye to Bob when she heard someone calling her name.
Well, of course it is, but of all people, Eden Channing.
Why, Mrs. Rankin, hello.
My dear, tell me this instant, how is your father?
Oh, he's very much better, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I was just sick when I heard of the dreadful accident. I've never trusted horses, you know.
Father was very fortunate. We were afraid of a skull fracture, sure.
Yes, I know. Mr. Rankin put the whole story on the front page of the journal with his picture in costume. Hammered it was. Everybody said it was so effective.
I'm sure it was.
The idea was mine. Well, isn't it nice to find someone on the train to talk to? Let's sit here. Do have a chocolate. Terribly rich, but so energizing.
No, thank you, Mrs. Rankin.
Your sister's kept me posted on the development evening. I didn't expect you back so soon.
Well, Father's completely out of danger. He's walking around now.
How nice.
So I thought I wanted to come back home and make good on my promises. Are you recruiting many ways?
Oh, the response still isn't as large as we'd like. That's disappointing naturally. But we'll keep at it harder than ever. By the way, I have met that young captain who saw you off the station just now, haven't I?
Bob Hastings?
Yes, of course, that's the name. An English officer.
Don't you find that most men look handsome in uniform?
No, Eden. I won't tell Paul I saw the captain kissing you.
Bob's going back into active service the day after tomorrow. I've been up at his aunt's home in Marblehead where my father's staying.
Oh, yes, now it fits together. He's the brother of that stunning red-headed young woman.
Yes, Catherine.
Your father had dinner with her at the inn one evening when Mr. Rankin and I were there.
What's been happening in Freetown since I've been away?
Oh, the usual batches of new babies. The hospital's overflowing. Julia Vidar had twin boys.
Really? She wanted a boy. Has Martha Adamson been around?
At the recruiting center every single evening. Martha's a very useful girl. Did you know she'd had word from her husband in Africa?
Philip's in Africa? I hadn't heard.
Oh, before I forget, Eden, I hope the flowers we sent your father reached the hospital.
Oh, yes, they were lovely red roses, Mrs. Rankin.
I suppose your father got flowers from everybody who's anybody in the theater. It must be thrilling to have a famous person in your family.
Well, the kids, oh, we treat him as a father first and a well-known actor second.
He's a splendid man. And all the work he's done for us at the Bomb Center... He's coming back to Freetown.
Well, that isn't definite. He's committed to do a series of guest appearances at the army camps first.
Do you suppose he'd mind if I wrote him? We're planning a special event to launch the third barn drive. We'd love to have him participate. In a way, we feel now he belongs to Freetown.
Well, I'm sure Father won't refuse if he can make it.
Of course, it would be just too wonderful if he and you would perform in a play for us.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't do that, Mrs. Rankin. I mean, I doubt if it'll be possible.
Utterly beyond me. I don't see how you can resist the chance to appear on the stage with an actor of his stature. It would be the experience of a lifetime, I'd imagine.
I feel that acting is father's field entirely. I'll content myself with teaching.
You never know. Your father thinks you are very good. I think you are, too. You may be in the theater with him someday.
I don't see how that could ever happen. I'm afraid it holds very little interest for me. Too bad. It would make Father much happier.
Oh, I didn't catch that. You sure you won't try one of these crunchy things?
No, thank you. Well, I wish I could see my way clear to help with the bond drive, but I can't make any commitments of that kind because one of these days, Paul will be home on leave and we'll be married.
Oh, wasn't it too bad your wedding had to be postponed? With Paul in Freetown, too.
Army orders come first.
You know what happened to Irene Van Osbruggen? She set a date 3 times to marry that nice young corporal she met through her brother last Christmas. Finally, she went down to Pennsylvania to marry him right at the time.
Mrs. Rankin brought me up to date on all of Freetown's social events during the past 3 weeks. I listened. I didn't have to say much. so I could think of Paul and the last letter I'd received telling me he'd passed up his leave. There was something wrong between Paul and me. Something that was growing. And I couldn't understand it. Was it his continued jealousy of Bob? Was Bob the only reason that Paul had given up his leave? Well, Paul alone could answer that. It was almost 2 o'clock when I let myself into the house quietly so as not to awaken the kid. I was too worried about Paul to fall asleep right away, so I began a letter to him. But it wasn't very successful. Finally, I went downstairs, fixed a cup of warm milk, and then went back to bed and to sleep. It seemed only a few minutes later that I was conscious of James and David's voices.
I'm not talking loud enough to wake her up.
Come on, you are. Come on out of there, Jane.
Oh, all right.
Hello, kid.
What did I tell you?
I didn't mean to wake you up, Eden, but I'm glad you are.
What time did you get home?
In the wee hours of the morning.
How's Dad?
Oh, swell. Now that they've parted him from the turban of bandages, he looks practically as good as new.
Can't we go to visit him at Marblehead?
Is he really all right?
I've been counting on seeing him at Marblehead, Eden.
Yeah, her bag's been packed and standing in the hall all week.
Father expects all of you to come and see him this weekend. Where's Jeff?
Your kid brother's a farmhand, sis, remember?
You know he works at the Huckabee Farm.
Oh, gee. Seems like such a long time that I've been away. Feels so good to be home.
Stick around a while, sis. We missed you.
David, you really look swell. You've put on weight.
Oh, a couple of pounds.
Was Bob up at Marblehead?
Mm-hmm. Look, if you'll scram, I'll get dressed and join you for breakfast.
Okay, I'll get things rolling. Now, don't you girls gab and let me do all the work.
We won't, dear.
Hey, Jane, don't tell Eden my news. I want to tell her myself.
Ah, don't worry.
I won't even ask her, Davy. What's it all about?
You'll hear. Speed it up, will you?
Eden, what made you come home so soon? We weren't expecting you till the weekend.
Well, I found out it was very hard work living a life of leisure. How are the Paddingtons, dear?
Same as usual. How's Miss Hastings?
Fine. Toss me my mules, would you, Jane?
Mm-hmm. And Bob, how's he?
Going into active service the day after tomorrow.
Oh, he isn't. Mm-hmm. He isn't? But won't he be there when I go to Marblehead?
Well, if you get there on Saturday, you'll probably see him for a while.
Well, I'm going today, then. Gee, why didn't you let me know? He's not going back to China.
Even if he knew, he couldn't tell me.
Just everybody's being sent away.
Well, we're at war, honey.
I was counting on Bob being there. Oh, you won't mind if I go today, Eden?
Of course not. I think I'll put on a pair of slacks. Oh, no, I better not. I want to go to the day nursery right after breakfast.
Loads of people have been calling for you. Mrs. Roseman and Mrs. Rank.
Oh, I came home in the train with her. She brought me up to date on all the news.
Oh, you want me to unpack for you?
Would you, dear?
Did you get anything new?
Where? At the Todd Farm? Mrs. Todd did send us some wonderful maple syrup, though.
Here's your slip. Eden, where'd you get this snazzy compact?
Compact? Oh, that.
I've never seen one designed like an airplane before. I bet Bob gave it to you.
Why do you think so?
Very simple deduction. He's an aviator. Oh, it's stunning.
Well, I wasn't going to take it. It was just a going-away gift.
I wouldn't refuse anything as gorgeous as... Wow, 18-karat gold.
18-karat? Oh, don't be silly.
It says 18K right here. Doesn't that mean 18-karat?
But... Bob said it was just a trinket. I didn't even look at it closely.
Well, this must be a tiny ruby. And this one's an emerald. Like the red and green lights on the plane wings. Why, it's the cleverest thing.
Let me see that, Jane.
Are you dopey to think this was novelty stuff? Didn't you even notice the box? Might have come from Tiffany's.
I didn't see any box.
Well, am I right? Is it gold?
I'm sending this back to Bob.
Whatever for. I'll use it if you don't want it.
This is much too expensive for either of us. It's the kind of gift a man gives the girl he's going to marry.
Not every man. Bob has stunning taste, Eden. I wish he'd given me a tumble. I think he's pretty wonderful.
Hey, breakfast! How about coming down?
In a minute! Jane, please don't say a word about this compact. I didn't have my wits about me last night, or I would have noticed how expensive it is.
Well, I don't see any sense in giving it back.
Well, I do, and I'm sending it back with you today.
have more coffee if you want. It's not rationed anymore.
Oh, good. Well, Davy, I'm waiting to hear this all-important piece of news.
Oh, well, the Army's put in a bid for my services.
The Army? Are you... You're not being drafted.
Yeah.
Davy, are you serious?
Well, if I wanted to kid, I'd pick on something smaller than the U.S. Army, sis. But not to keep you in suspense. I passed my physical yesterday.
However did you do it? A month ago, Dr. Hartwell said that...
Well,
you...
I've been a good boy. I've been taking my vitamin pills and sleeping and eating and sleeping. I put on 9 pounds. Dr. Hartwell says I'm okay.
Well, let me take another look at you.
Hey, you said that... The way you said that reminded me of Mother.
Well, I don't know what to say.
You ought to say you're glad. Don't you want your brother to help win this war?
You expect your brothers will be called up, but when they are, somehow it takes a minute or two to get used to the idea. When do you go?
I've got 10 days to wind up my business affairs. I'd like to see Dad before I go.
Oh, of course. You wanted to get in, didn't you?
Well, sure. I'm practically the only fellow around here who isn't in. The Army hadn't taken me. I'd have enlisted in the Merchant Marine, Eden.
Davy, it doesn't seem possible that you're old enough to go.
I'm 19, going on 20, sis. Over in England, there are a lot of fellows my age who have been in this war for a couple of years already.
Is that so? Well, I think you ought to go to Marblehead today with Jane to see Father.
Would you mind? After all, you've only just come back.
Certainly not. You know, Davy, you're 2 heads taller than I am, and I don't care if you get to be a general someday. You'll still be my kid brother. There hadn't been as many changes in my entire life as in the past 6 months. Mother had died. Father had come back to the family after being away for 10 years. And now David was going into the Army. Jane was itching to leave for a dramatic school in New York. So there'd be only Jeff and me left in Freetown, since Father'd be going back to New York and the theater soon. I felt alone. But then I remembered Paul. Of course, he was my future, not the family. And thinking of Paul, I grew troubled again. His last letter was in my bag. I reread it, and I sat down to write one that must clear away every misunderstanding about Bob Hastings. Dearest Paul, take another look at the postmark. I'm in Freetown and delighted that Father's convalescence was rapid because it was possible to cut short my stay in Marblehead. You'll be interested to know that Bob Hastings is reporting for active service on Saturday. I make a point of telling you this only because you've given him undeserved importance. Meeting Bob hasn't changed my love for you in any way, darling. You must believe this. Bob's the kind of fellow who lives his personal life in pretty much the same way that he fights as an aviator. He kicks all formality aside and heads for his goal at full speed. I shall be very frank with you, darling, and tell you exactly what happened. Bob found out where I was and followed me up to Vermont.
At this moment, writing Paul Warner about Bob seems the only thing and the right thing to do. But tomorrow, Eden weighs the full implications of this decision. This Life is Mine is an original radio drama written by Addie Richton and Lynn Stone, directed by Richard Sandville. Bill Goulding speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.